lights, camera, and action.
Bam.
Sean, thank you for joining me again.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here again, pal. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. You've been busy lately, haven't you?
A little bit. No more than anyone else is busy, I don't think.
I mean, how many episodes have you done recently? I mean, you have your lives, plus you have the YouTube lives. Like, it's just all over.
Yeah, I guess this month being, this is the last day of January, January 31st. That means that being on your podcast right now is my 63rd time in front of, at least 63 times this month I've been in front of a microphone.
And if you said that last year, what was it like, give or take, last January?
I would probably replay your response, which was, wow. It's crazy.
You know, I've watched your video with Chance, one of your first episodes. And today, there's quite a bit of a difference. For people that are starting off or are nervous to get in front of a camera or a mic, how have you been able to do it and get through it?
I think, so anyone who isn't familiar with my backstory, it's not a big deal. It's not an impressive backstory. But how it's relevant to this story is that I was on your podcast previously. And in fact, funnily enough, I was just rewatching it again last night, doing my homework. You know, that seems like it was quite some time ago. But when I first started off this whole effort, initiative, attempt, life trajectory of trying to do it better for people around me, I guess, and myself, when I jumped in front of a microphone, it was my phone bungee corded onto a tree out on a mountain bike trail, staring into the eye of Sauron for the first time, talking to the entire interwebs, talking to myself, because you're really just talking to your reflection in your own phone, stuck on that tree. And it was a crazy time, man. Not crazy in the sense of insane, but it was just like a really wild entry into, we'll call it podcasting, because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even know why I was trying to do it. I just knew that people were asking me to do it, and then it was for me to figure it out. And figuring it out was hellacious. That was then, and this is now, and it's been a number of podcasts and live chats since. I can take satisfaction in looking back on when Chance and I, when I first did my first legit podcast with Chance. Man, like, I recognize myself, of course, because it's me. But it's just a whole different approach now, the way I am in front of a microphone versus then. I'm still Sean. I'm still being authentic and et cetera. But I've just found a way through lots of stubbornness to be more comfortable in this moment. And so, you know, to your point, how have I created a delta between super uncomfortable in front of a microphone and now way more comfortable? Well, funnily enough, I just said it to my son, Evan, our oldest son, last night. The night before, he was doing some recording on a one-way conversation. So he was recording into a video screen to capture his ideas on why he would be the right person for the job on a summer engineering job. And so, you know, this would be his first time out of high school that he's doing it was effectively a virtual interview, job interview, where he had to record his responses to questions and who he is and what he would like to do with himself. As the clock ticked and as the screen popped up, he would have to answer the question in a video presentation. And he's never had to do that before. So he was a little uncomfortable, and I just said, hey, listen, this month I've already done over 50 live chats in front of a microphone, and kiddo, you know this is not my thing, but here's what I've found to make it just a little bit easier. Don't sweat it, what the person on the other end thinks of you. Just be you. Just be authentic. Just don't try to be something you're not. Just be you. And if people are interested in you, if they want to hire you based on you, well, good. You just cracked off a home run by being you.
Because oftentimes, especially on social media, we will see people fronting or putting a filter on. And not being themselves, because it's a way of being accepted.
Dude, I tried a little bit of myself at the start. I tried. What I did do, it's not that I tried to be inauthentic. I just tried to figure out different ways to do it. I was still me. I was still being authentic me. Listen, if someone doesn't like me, that's cool. Let me know why you don't like me, and I'll try to figure out how to not get you to like me, but at least that I don't offend you. And so, you know, I'm not trying to do things in a certain way to make people like me or dislike me. I'm just being me, and I'm trying to do what's asked of me, and that is to try to be helpful to others. That's what people ask. That's what I'm trying to do. That's hopefully what's happening. And so when I first started out trying to figure out this whole social media thing, I was just really rotten at it, stinking up the place. And so I had to try a bunch of different things, being authentic me, but, you know, sometimes it's a little song and dance. Sometimes it's the robot. Whatever. I just tried different things. And by trying, it wasn't like trying to construct the social media, Sean. I was just playing in the space in front of me, trying to figure out my left and right of arc and figuring out what I could and couldn't do that worked for me. Not about what works for the interwebs, but how I could refine my journey in front of the microphone to better understand, oh, now I get it. I've just got to be me. And I've got to do things that I enjoy doing, including doing things like that, that just work for my head and make me feel like I'm in the game, I'm having fun, I'm being authentic. It's easy peasy, lemon squeezy, just moving like water in front of the microphone. I can only do that if I just stop trying to overthink what I'm trying to do.
In the beginning, when I see your videos with Chance, you're very stoic and you're very stiff. Is that who you were, or do you think that's who you thought you needed to be based on where you come from, which is a military background?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's insightful. And so I would say this, that stoic for sure. That's kind of how I like to operate. But I had to start from there, a position of, we'll call it stoicism. And then I had to, this is going to sound weird, but it's how my brain works. I had to send out reconnaissance patrols. I had to go out and do probing missions out of my central pillar of, I got this. I don't have to show anything. I can gather all the intel without showing any intel. That's just how my brain works. I just had to operate in a stoic fashion, send out my reconnaissance probes, figure things out, expand my battle space, understand the battle space more and more until eventually I felt like, oh, I'm comfortable in it. Now I can not ditch the stoicism. That's not what I'm saying. Now I can just be a little more free-flowing, a little more playful in the moment while still knowing that, you know, I'm in a safe space of stoicism, if you will.
Interesting. Because I did wonder that. I did wonder, is that who you are truly, you know?
I think we're all trying to figure that out, who all of us are, you know, on any given day. I mean, we can generalize or categorize that who you are today is who you've been for a while. But I think that if you want to look at it with more granularity, we all have an impression of who we are or what we want to be, but on a day-to-day basis, that shifts. And how much it shifts is how much you're paying attention to detail. If you're being really electron microscope granular, well, you're seeing big ebbs and flows or big shifts in who you think you are on the daily, on the hourly, on the minute. Oh, yeah. But if you're just broadly generalizing about who you think you are and you don't put much thought into it and you don't pay attention to the baseline, and you don't trend off that baseline on a per minute basis, per hour basis, per day basis, all you see is a general definition of who you are, and that's it. That's all. So you don't see who you are because you're not thinking deeply about who you are.
Have you figured out who you are today, or are you happy with the person you are today?
Sure am. I'm happy. And, you know, I'm happier now than I was a year ago, because a year ago I didn't, you know, I was, of course, doing my best and trying to be helpful and trying to fulfill the role that I was asked to stand in. But I can look back over the last year and not only gain satisfaction from the things that I've been a tiny part of and feel that, oh, that was good. That was good work. And it was worthy work. But beyond the looking at the body of work, and we'll call it outcomes, just myself internally, it's better because, you know, it's maybe not a sense of pride, but a sense of self-worth when you keep feeding that sense of satisfaction, keep adding another lump of coal, my coal black heart, adding another lump of coal next to my coal black heart, and feeling like, yeah, man, the furnace is burning nice and steady right now, and it's been burning steady for a long time, I guess, and I feel pretty good about that.
What is one thing you've learned being on the interwebs now, talking to people on a daily? What is something you've learned about the human race?
I think there hasn't been any new revelations. There's just been a reinforcement of the understanding that I've been watching for quite some time, and that is the commonality of the species, how we're all very similar. And a lot of our life trajectories or our story arcs on a surface level look radically different. But when you like dig real deep down in the layers and think deeply with the person and talk deeply with the person, I think it's almost identical, nearly. There's a lot of mirror stories out there, a lot of such tight commonality to the human experience that the life stories are almost just a veneer, a minor layer over top of what's really happening, and that is the commonality of the species.
We heard stories, both of us, in different ways of, well, myself through podcasting, individuals, friends of yours, and people that have served, and first responders as well. And we realize people are fragmented. The stories are fragmented. Everything is out there, but no one is, I guess, what do you call it, as one force. Creating this collective for the listeners, what is that all about? And what is your hopes and dreams for that?
Well, as you were asking that question, all I could think was this, pal. That's precisely what we're trying to do over at the collective. And it's no coincidence, by the way, that that's what we're trying to do, because to your point, and to the point I just made, by the way, of this observation of the commonality of the species and how it's only like a razor thin veneer of all of the spiky stories that a person thinks their life is all about. I mean, I've done some cool things. I've done some rad things. I've done some ebbs and flows, some spikes, I guess. But I mean, they're a veneer laid over top of what it really means to be a human being. And so I think that a lot of the focus, I'll reframe this. There's a large focus out there on a lot of podcasts and a lot of storytelling websites, if you will, that the focus is all about, how many 9mm did you carry? How many hand grenades did you have in your pocket? How many ... minor details that are inconsequential? Because they have no bearing on the human condition. They're just minor blips on the radar that may make the story sexy, but it's not about even the story. It's about the lessons learned. It's about the mistakes made. It's about how to do it better. And by better, I don't mean, hey, carry another 20% of the grenades that you ask for. Carry an extra 20%. That's a really good life tip. That's not a life tip. A life tip is way deeper than that. And that these are things that I thought weren't being talked about enough in the way that some of us were starting to talk. I really liked the way that things were being discussed. I really liked the way that we were all looking at each other at the end of a live chat and thinking like, oh, We actually talked about something meaningful today, something substantial, something that had nothing to do with me as a army guy. It's not about me as an army guy. It's about me as just a dude who has seen or done some things and made some mistakes and has some observations. And they just happen to correlate with a lot of people. They happen to synchronize with a lot of people. And it's not because they're versions of me as a back in the day tier one warrant officer. They're a version of me because I'm a freaking human being, and so are they. And guess what? Their struggles are my struggles. My struggles are their struggles. We've all got the same struggles. We've all made the same mistakes. We've all got the same lessons to learn, et cetera, et cetera. And putting the stories in front of the lessons, just telling story after story after story about this weapon and that missile and that plane and those boots. I mean, these are all great conversations, but they're conversations that you should, or I would prefer to lead more towards something that is meaningful, tangible, that you can sink your teeth into for your entire life and still not see the fullness of that single lesson.
The layers
and asking more of ourselves in a not only an intellectual or contemplative spirit, but asking more of ourselves on that emotional and maybe spiritual. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about whatever makes you feel soulfully correct, that your emotions and your spiritual journey that is unique to all of us. And, you know, if we just talk about the three main pillars, I would say, of physical, mental, and emotional, there's so much that can be discussed in those three areas that have got nothing to do with the hat that I'm wearing. But it just so happens that this hat taught me a few things. And when I'm talking with you, or when someone's talking with me, or I'm talking with whoever, invariably the conversation will switch to back in the day. And so back in the day, I learned a lot of things, but since I left the back in the day, I've learned a bunch more things. Working in the adult world for 40 years and with cool people in a broad range of industries, you just learn things. And so this wisdom here, I can tell some stories, but I don't need the stories to actually talk about the real meat and potatoes, which is the wisdom, the lessons that I've learned over life through people who are wiser than me.
If the collective was around, say, 10 years ago, would it have helped make a difference for lives lost?
At least one person, me. It would have made my life better. And if I believe anything that I'm being told, it would have made a bunch of people better. And so, would it have been good 10 years ago? It would have been good 100 years ago. But 100 years ago, here's how it worked. It was some guys getting together in the tavern and having these conversations. And though they might have been talking about, slopping pigs in the pig troughs or whatever, the conversation wasn't actually about that. Everyone was having a quiet pint in the corner and they were talking about life, because that's the way it used to work. But now with the digital world, There's no place to pull up into a corner and put your elbow next to a warm fire and talk about deeper, meaningful things in life. And so, you know, if there's a 16-year-old kid out there who's struggling to figure out how to do it better, they can't slide into the 100-year-old tavern after cleaning out the pigs. They're stuck on the internet trying to figure it out by themselves. So whereas the taverns of nowadays were more thoughtful, meaningful, big life questions are asked, well, you know, we're trying to create something that will create more thought over on the collective, that's for sure.
How do you siphon through the noise? And there's a billion answers to one question. How do you know what's right? And what will work for you?
I listen to good people. I listen to people who are smarter than me. I follow wiser people. I don't ask the 16-year-old how to do it. I ask the 66-year-old how to do it. And so, you know, Everyone gets their information from wherever. If you want to know the best way to fly a plane, I would suggest don't go to CNBC News or CNN or ABC News or any news outlet to learn how to fly a plane. I'd also suggest not going to any Reddit forum that explains to you how to make whipped cream, because they're irrelevant to how to fly a plane. If you want to fly a plane, you go talk to professional pilots. You go join a club that is professionally training people how to fly a plane. You join forums that talk about how to become better in a plane. You don't go to the volleyball forum to learn how to fly a plane. And so if you want to do life better, where, how do you learn how to think deeper, how to do it better, etc.? Well, again, you don't go to the volleyball forum to figure it out. You go to the forum called Age Old Wisdom, which you could start with Stoicism as an example if you've never started down the research path of how to think deeper. You can look back through history and cherry pick a bunch of sources that will make you smarter, better, wiser. But you can also look around in the current time, right now, real time, today, and you can find a number of people out there that are just dropping straight up heat on how to be a better person. Immediately, the first person that comes to mind is Jocko Willink. And so I don't know what he said this morning, but whatever he said, it's legit. And you should go listen to it. So should I. I try to as often as I can. I try to listen to people who have lived a pretty full life and have seen enough that I know that their worldview isn't constricted to a dusty library. They've gone out and lived a larger life than just the bookshelves that they're surrounded by. And so you can find wisdom through the ages. You can find wisdom in the real time. The important wisdom is being smart, refining your wisdom paths in order to gain that wisdom.
How important is routine to you and to anybody out there? Lost, struggling.
That's a good question. Yeah. I'm going to say, just a sec, let me pull something up here real quick, because I got a poem.
All right.
That I wrote the other day, by the way. I'm quite disappointed that you didn't congratulate me on it.
You wrote a poem?
I did.
Yeah, please share it.
Let me just pull it up. I didn't claim anything. I didn't say, hey, look at my poem. I'm just saying it now, which is also weird to say. It's not a humble brag. I'm just like, I'm saying it to raise a point. So just 2 days ago, I put up a little drone footage, and it was a drone that was way above my house, and I was zooming in on the three vegetable boxes in our backyard, and I fly down, and there's a tree that gets closer and closer and closer and closer. And the title of my post 2 days ago was simply called Discipline. And then I put, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines underneath that. The first line simply says, consistency. Second line is year after year. Third line is building experience. Fourth line is changing perspective. Fifth line is with each passing season. Now, if you go and watch the drone footage, this is the poem. Consistency, year after year. Building experience, changing perspective with each passing season. Bam, I'm a poet. That's my one-page book. So, you know, I shot some drone visual. I wrote some words, cerebral. Put them together. I think they make a nice little match, except that no one knows I wrote that poem because I didn't want anyone to know. But now they know. But it answers your question. Consistency of effort. Consistency, understanding that within time, it builds upon itself season after season. And years from now, you can look back and see that you were creating discipline within yourself.
You know, there's so many places to be, things to touch, things to do. We can get distracted by shiny objects and think that is of interest to us. You know, maybe I'll take up poetry now. I may not be into it. So. I might not be great at it. But, you know, I'll give up. Give it a week. I'll throw it out.
Yeah. Maybe.
How do you know how to push through certain things and let other things go?
That's a great question, because that's actually where I was going to go, and I was going to do it by a space ninja. So backstory, anyone who doesn't know, in my old Instagram page, I started a Space Ninja series, and it's because I got into AI art. I'm still into AI art. And I started creating a Space Ninja, putting some visual representations out there with some written word, much like poetry. And so I was just trying to be creative. I was trying to demonstrate that even a skinny old dude like me who has, you know, had picked up some bumps and bruises, I can still be a poet. I can still be Shakespeare, baby. And so I just thought I'd do a little bit of Space Ninja. Now, I've got 8 episodes over there on my old Instagram page. I'm on my new Instagram page now, and here's what's happened. Right around the end of last year, I was missing Space Ninja. Missing him. I was missing him, and I was missing the act of him. And so January came about, which we're now just at the completion of, and here's how my January went. 63 podcasts. And so I was a little busy because I was taping minimum of 2 hours of live chats per day. And then, of course, as you know, I was then reviewing those 2 hours by rewatching them again. So I'm 4 hours deep into videos before I even blink my eye. And so there goes my morning. That leaves me the afternoon and my night. And so in the afternoon and night, I've got a lot of things to do. And that had me shelving Space Ninja for all of January. And I've been missing him, man. I've been missing that as an outlet. I can feel it. I was feeling it last year. I'm feeling it now. But I committed to what I was going to do. And that's full steam ahead with the lives. Going to get after it. I'm going to make myself better for myself, for everyone around me. I'm going to do that thing, et cetera, et cetera. Check that box. February 1 starts tomorrow. February is the day that I allowed myself to look forward or unleash or get after Space Ninja again. I've been missing that dude. So it's going to happen in February. I haven't got a hard and fast date, but it's going to happen. Now, to your question.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned. It's, you know, don't stay really close to him because it's not that big of a deal. But here's the thing. Your question was, how do I know, you know, to do this or to do that, et cetera? And I don't know. I commit to things even when I feel like, oh, I surely don't want to commit to this. And then there's times when I'm not committing to something, but I'm still feeling the pull of it, like Space Ninja. So I think really what it comes down to is having conviction to do the thing that you know you got to do while still be open to the idea that if your heart's still speaking to you about something else, you also got to follow that. So you got to follow the hard logic path, and you got to listen to your intuitive heartfelt path and find a way to either blend them or allow them to interoperate or assign time to go crush that while still going over there and being an opera singer, because that's what your heart wants to do. You know what I mean?
Are you enjoying Midjourney, or have you played around with it a bit?
Dude, I haven't even touched it. I've kept it at arm's distance. Okay. There's a tab open on my browser here, and I haven't clicked on that tab since last year. And my son, Evan, as a Christmas present, he bought me a half a year of a full blown access to AI art. And so I don't even have the excuse right now of I can only do 10 images per month for free. I can do freaking whatever I want. But I've got an overriding sort of critical no pass filter right now, which is January is all about smashing in doors for the collective. So that as a group, as a community, at least we're off to my best effort start. I'll say that.
For individuals that have seen hell and came back, how do you go out there and help people that have also seen hell and are maybe stuck in it, but are okay to touch that spot again? Because it's hard, you know, facing that.
Yeah. It's hard. It is. I think one of the, not an advantage I've got, but certainly a common position that I can speak to is I get it. I know how freaking hard it can be in the head. And I know how demoralizing it can be. I know how lonely it can be. I know how sad you can be, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying I've experienced all of those things to the same depths of the outliers out there that are, you know, like deep, deep in it. And I've never experienced that depth or whatever, but it's not about making the comparisons. It's about having the common understanding of the suck. And so, you know, I kind of think that I got a sense of that. And so I can talk to people from that sense of the suck. I get it, pal. I get it, brother. And so if I can say that honestly, and then I've also been fortunate to have met a bunch of good people and learned from them. And I've done my own hard work, my own research, my own efforts to move forward ahead in life and whatever that means to someone out there. And I feel that now I can talk to people from a position of experience and whatever they've got to say, though I might not have led the exact same life as them, I've got enough commonality with them that I can talk with them on almost any subject.
Do you get triggered by some of the subjects that you hear?
Yeah. So triggered for the definition of the word, and I'm glad that you use that word because I can define the definition of triggered to me. It's a word that's often used, too often used in my opinion. Everyone's triggered by something, and now the trigger's just triggered me. I'm triggered by the word trigger. It just all gets a bit much. And so I'll use the word in the sense of if things irritate me, or if things annoy me, or if things make me go, what? Did you just say that? So, you know, that's what triggering means to me nowadays is a, bro, I'm not sure about that. And so what bugs me or what triggers me, it's just when people are living a lie, you know, when they've bought into their own nonsense, and I know it's nonsense, they know it's nonsense, but they're in their nonsense because they don't want to do the work to get out of the nonsense. And now it's one of two things. It's either it's so hard, or it must be nice to be you. And so, you know, they'll point at me and say, oh, it must be nice to be you. Or they'll point at themselves and say, oh, it's just too hard to be me. I hear it all the time. We spoke about it yesterday, precisely about this yesterday over on The Collective. And it's a thing where it's they don't understand me. It's too hard because they've got all the advantages and blah, blah, they. And, you know, it's a negative mindset that doesn't allow people to move forward, not at their optimal pace, but at the pace they deserve, at the pace that they're entitled to get better as a human being. And what does better mean? It means happier at a bare minimum. And so one of the things that I'll say triggers me, or more correctly, irritates me, is when someone sits back, folds their arm with the empty Doritos bag on their chest and says, you know, must be nice to be you, Sean. No, it ain't. It ain't nice to be me sometimes because I got to freaking work like a dog. Right. Like, it's hard.
You got to tame this.
And I'm not saying it's hard to be me. I'm just saying it ain't easy to be me. But I'll tell you what, it's harder to be me than it is Dorito bag on the chest, Sean. So, you know, I think the thing that kind of twigs me a little bit is when someone's moaning about nothing to moan about.
You see that a lot on the internet, don't you?
I think we all see it a lot. I think there's so much negativity, and I think the subset of negativity that bothers me the most, and it's just what I finished talking about, is the belief, that victim mentality, where they are the enemy, I'm the good guy. They are screwing me over. I'm the victim. It's so wrong. There's the only person that's in charge of your universe is you. You get to decide every day what it's going to look like. And if you wake up and think, they won't let me do ... dude, you're a victim of your own weak mind. And I mean weak. And anyone who's going to take offense to that word, well, you're double weak for taking offense. And if you just got offended by me saying that, now you're triple weak. Because it shouldn't be offensive to you to hear me say you're weak. Because here's the thing, you know you are. And lying to yourself is just being weak. And so when I say to you with your Dorito bag on your chest, bro, clean it up. Stand up, clean up your room, go outside, look at the sunshine for the first time this week. That's a good start. Let's begin there. If anyone who needs to hear that then takes offense, because must be nice to be you, Sean. No, I mean, I had to dig my way out of the Dorito bag at one point. So anyone who buys into the negative victim mentality that woe is me, the world is against me, it's a weak mindset. What are your thoughts on that?
For sure. Well, here's my feedback. I agree with you. Agree with you. You know, oftentimes we don't call ourselves out enough and we start believing our own bullshit, truthfully.
Agreed. All have.
And again, it can happen today, tomorrow. We just have to call, you know, be quicker at that and just say, whoa, wrong, shift.
Yeah, correct.
And we're at a time right now where we don't want to hear it from anybody else.
No, I think we're at a different time than that. I think that's where we were. Really? But I think where we're at now is in a time where if we don't want to hear that, we just sign into the group called I Don't Want to Hear That. And now you're surrounded by 10,000 people who are in the same group. And so, you know, a decade ago, you could be a hardcore whiner, like just your whole life is about moaning and being a victim. And you could play that game and not too many people were in your gang. But nowadays, there's a big gang out there that just loves their whining. And they love to be the victim and they love to complain about how it's everyone else's fault that they have never done a push-up this week. No, that's not the way it works. And we all know that that's a lie. Deep inside of us, we know we're lying to ourselves. We know that we're lying to everyone around us. But what's happening nowadays is if you can't face the lie, you go find the group that makes you feel good about lying to yourself.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so easy. Find it on Facebook, on Reddit, anywhere.
So easy.
Yeah. And you know what? There'll always be someone there to support that.
Well, there's the key. There's always someone out there to support what you want. There is. There's entire gangs out there of hundreds of thousands of people that will support anything that you want. It's your job to choose the right thing that you want. If you want to choose, you suck. There's lots of gangs out there that'll help flourish you in the suck department. Mm. If you want to sign up for the be awesome, there's big gangs out there that'll help you be more awesome. Did I mention Jocko Willink recently? Yes, I did. And so do you sign up for Jocko Willink, who's going to get you more awesome? Or do you go to some forum where they're going to encourage you to suck more? Because there's a whole pile of that out there right now.
And by sucking more, what happens to that person eventually?
Two things. One, they lead by example for all those around them on how to suck. And then it normalizes within the community. It's okay to suck. And by the way, we like it when you suck because now you're part of the suck gang. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy of suck. And so if you want to suck, you're influencing everyone around you, whether you think you are or not. Now, there's the part where you get right with sucking. There's the part where you get right with spoiling it for everyone else around you. And those are two things that are happening right now if you suck. But man, you know what's going to happen about 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? Maybe when you've got grandkids and you look back and think, wow, I kind of, not only did I suck, I actually suck right now and I can't even help my own grandkids. I can't show them the way forward. I can't be a positive individual for my own grandkids because I never learned how to be it.
Well, you get bitter. You know, there's resentment.
100%.
It was funny how you brought that up with that 10,000 folks. You know, misery likes company. So if you entertain that for a while and try to escape it, good luck. That's hard too.
Good luck. Good luck.
Unless, it's like an AI art of, you know, these demons holding you down, right? Or shackles.
It is. It is. It is. And so you've got to have two things to get out of that situation. Let's pretend, let's use your example. You know, there's literal demons hanging onto your ankle, trying to pull you back into the depths of despair. You've got two tools at that point. You've got your own conviction of that ain't going to happen. Call it stubbornness, call it grit, call it something that you were 20 years ago, but you've forgotten how to do that because you don't believe in yourself anymore. At one time you could, now you can't because you've been lying to yourself too long. Well, reach down and dig a bit deeper and remember that you can kick anything off you. Anything. But let's pretend you don't fully believe that. The second tool that you've got is some people who are reaching their hand down to give you a hand, to drag you out of that depths of despair, drag you out so that as they drag you out into the sunshine and there's still a demon hanging onto your ankle, guess what? I'm ramming a spear right through its chest. So you gotta want to do it for yourself, but you also got to remember that there's a team around you that can help you slay those demons.
There's comfort in being a victim.
Yeah, it's easy.
Mm-hmm. You know, you look at 10 years from now, do you think being someone that celebrates greatness and, I don't know, strength is going to be a sign of weakness?
Interesting question, relevant to what we were just talking about on the collective today, which was about trying to be the elite version of yourself. So yesterday, had a fellow on by the name of Nick from Corporal for Life, and we were talking about being the best version of yourself. I think it's really critical. And Nick said that he's trying to be the most elite version of Nick, you know, Nick Generation 2.0. And so Chance Burles in the collective today was talking about that the main subject he wanted to talk about was the elite version of yourself. And so initially as a group, it was, there was five of us on there, two ladies, three guys, and talking about that subject, trying to assign the important line in the sand or the distinction between being elite and then being an elite poser, I'll call it. So you can be elite for yourself. You can want to be the best version of yourself because in so doing, you know that that's you being the best version of yourself for all of those around you. And then there's someone who just wants to be elite because they love the spotlights, or they love the pay, or they love standing on top of that podium in front of everyone. They love the round of applause. They love the crowd. And so, you know, you use, I think I used a basketball player as an example, the best in the world, and they're an elite player. But that doesn't mean they're an elite human being. It just means that they're really good at basketball.
On the court, yeah.
They could just be totally blowing their life. And so what does it mean? What does elitism mean to me, being the elite for yourself? It means nailing it all, doing your best in everything, every day, on every subject. And so, you know, let's say you've got 10 things, 10 subjects, 10 big things that you're dealing with today. Do your best in every single one of them. End the day knowing that you did your best. That to me is approaching the day in an elite fashion. It doesn't mean that you're an elite athlete in every single thing, or an elite philosopher, or an elite academic, or an elite dot, dot, dot. It just means that semi-village idiot Sean is making his best effort at everything that he faces today, no matter what silo it is, no matter what subject it is, no matter what. It's going to get my best.
The price of not trying to be your best.
10 years from now, having regret.
You regret anything in life?
Sure do. Not giving it my best.
But is this sustainable to give our best daily?
It is. Yeah, 100% it is. I think that we all can, all the time, every day. But here's when you can't, is when you don't think it. So, you know, if you believe that it's impossible, well, guess what it is. But if you believe that it is possible, well, guess what? Now you've got something to work against and maybe figure it out. And so you either choose to believe or you don't. Here's a universal truth. If you don't ever try, you won't ever know. That's freaking money back guaranteed. And so you want to learn what you're capable of, you got to start capable-bling. And if you want to figure out how long you can do that for, you've got to do it for a while. And if you want to think, have I cracked the code? You've got to do it long enough that you can look backwards and think, I think I kind of did. And so it never starts until it starts. And once you start, you got to keep with consistency, doing your best to see if you can form the pattern within the game, understand the game of doing your best. Now, for anyone out there who's going to challenge you or me or someone else, I mean, I actually got a little bit of push, not a pushback, but I got a little bit of a questioning from a guy who joined us today in the collective panel. His name is Tip, cool dude. I think he said he just got 37 years in the Royal Marine Commando over in England, and he just recently retired, if I understand his story correctly. I hope to get to talk to him some more. He seems like a real cool dude. But, you know, when the conversation came up initially about the elite and being elite, I think he interpreted initially as elitism and approaching life as an elitist, which is different than trying to be elite, the elite version of yourself. It doesn't mean that you've got to act with elitism or you don't have to focus on life through the lens of egotistical gains.
There's a difference.
You got to keep your ego in check. Of course, there's a difference. But choosing to do your best on anything that's in front of you is a mindset. Now, the pressure, Chance Pearls actually said this yesterday, and I challenged him with it when I said, well, what's stopping you from thinking of being elite every day, or what's stopping you from excellence every single second? And I'll loosely paraphrase, he said, well, it's kind of a lot. You know, like all the time? Yeah, all the time. Here's why. Because it costs you nothing. It's just a mindset, man. You don't have to, I think I said, you don't have to do a push-up prior to thinking, now I'm going to try being elite. It's a mindset. You don't have to do anything other than flip the switch in your peanut and think, that's it. From now on, it's done. I'm approaching it in an excellent manner in anything that I do. But the moment that you think of that, it's not like a Harry Potter wand. It doesn't change your universe and all of a sudden everything becomes super easy. No, it's just as hard as it was the day before, except now you're approaching it with making your best effort. And some things you're going to really suck at on day one, you'll suck. But that doesn't mean that you're not trying your best. You're trying your best. You're trying your best with whatever you've got in the tank. If you've only got 10% juice right at the end of the day, you apply your 10%. Now you've got 6%. You apply that 6%. Now you've got 2%. Now it's time for bed. Set your alarm. Go to sleep. Wake up. Do your best.
How do you know what's your best or how much you've put in? Do you think people should push it and give it all they've got for the day?
That's the trick, isn't it? Now we're talking about velocity. And that's the real key is, you know, people will wonder, how do I, you know, like, if I do this, how long will it take for me to be that? You never will be. The outcome never arrives. You never see the best version of yourself. because you eventually die.
It's the journey, not the destination, as they say.
It's the journey, man. That's right. And it's so goofy, but it's so true. And so, you know, if you focus on, here we go. If you focus on the journey, the rest takes care of itself. And the journey is what? It's the day in front of you. It's the moment. It's right now, doing your best. I'm doing my best in this podcast. Doesn't mean that I'm nailing it. I might be stinking up the place. I don't know, but it won't be for lack of trying. It'll get my best. And 10 years from now, I can look back and think, you know what? I was starting to get a little good at speaking in front of a microphone, but I'm better now. But at least then I was doing my best. And that's why you can strip out your life regrets if you just do your best. If you're not doing your best, you are now investing in regret.
Somebody, Sean, is where you were a year ago or even a few months ago. How can they take their first step to get on camera or get out there to story or tell their story? Because oftentimes, you know, we heal through the storytelling process.
How can someone do that? Just do what I did. Just hit the record button. I mean, literally, that's what I did. I gave it like next to no thought, and I was not great, but I got better. And so what can a person do if they've never been in a live chat before? Well, I think that there's some people that are out there that want to be on a live chat, but they're scared to ask if they can be on a live chat. And I've had people say to me, wow, man, thanks so much. I didn't think you'd have me on your podcast. And I'm thinking like, A, I'm not a podcast. B, why wouldn't I have you on, dude? C, you're a better dude than I am. So you should be running the podcast, not me. And so, you know, a lot of people out there are thinking, I don't want to do it because I'm not worthy enough. I don't deserve to be. I don't, forget all that noise. Just jump in and have a chat with me anytime, anywhere, and it'll be fun. And I'll learn things, you'll learn things, the interwebs will learn things, and don't ever think that you can't hit me up for a chat. And so live chats over on my Instagram are a good way to enter into a conversation in a more, we'll call it podcasty manner. But if you're not down for the live chat, and I gotta say, it is kind of next level hard. If you want an easier way into the microphone, well, now you get onto a podcast, just like with this podcast, where the podcast host can kind of shape things to some degree. But let's say you have a moment where you kind of go beep, bop, beep, and you pause 2, 3, and you can't think of anything to say. And then you start saying dumb stuff, and then you get embarrassed. And now you want to pass out because you're having a panic attack. Guess what? In a podcast, the host will just cut all of that out. And so there is no real downside to entering into a recorded podcast like this, because a good host will help you through the process. So there's no downside. There's only upside at that point.
And a good coach.
Live chats are a bit more tricky, but podcasts like this for sure are a good way to get into it. Now, what if everyone is like kind of looking around saying, yeah, I'd love to interview anyone want to, and they keep just, they're just looking just over top of you. You know, you're just, if that's happening, well, take ownership, reach out to someone and say, dude, you know, like, hey Zach, I love everything that you're doing, man. You know, like, I've got an interesting story and I'd love to talk to you, and reach out to Zach and say, hey, bro, this is my deal. And that doesn't have to be discovered in a podcast. Through a conversation with Zach, through an email, through a DM, through a off in the back office sort of scenario, Zach can ascertain the best story that can come out of that podcast to some degree, and will then help shape the opportunity for the podcast to occur. But it'll never happen if you've got your hands folded in your lap and you're twiddling your thumbs, hoping that it's going to magically show up at your front doorstep and make it all happen for you. You got to go out and own your journey.
I think people are afraid, you know.
Sure. And rightfully so.
Look like an idiot.
Rightfully so.
I want to look like an idiot.
Yeah,
or
for sure.
Who would care about my story? It just, meh.
all the things. It's all the doubts. It's all the self-critical analysis. It's all the imposter syndrome.
That's a thing, though. Imposter syndrome, it kills us, and it's in our head. It's getting out of that.
For sure. I mean, as I'm here on this microphone right now, I'm thinking to myself, like, what am I even doing? I don't deserve to be in front of this microphone. Where's the dude who should be in front of this microphone? That's all that keeps going through my head. Why me? Why not that other dude who's way better than me? That's what I think.
It's you, Coach Sean.
But what is, you know, until that guy comes along and taps me on the shoulder and says, step aside, amateur. Well, and I'm waiting for that day. Bring it, please, this afternoon. Until then, I'll keep doing this. And all I can say to everyone else out there who's listened to that, for real, just step in front, step up. You've got something to say, say it. It's not going to break your heart. It's not going to break your brain. It's not going to break your eyesight. It's not going to break anything. It's going to build you up. And so I don't want to say take a chance, but invest in yourself and contact someone who has a platform to see if they can have a conversation with you on that platform. I don't want to say be bold, but bet on yourself. Just invest in yourself and reach out to someone and say, hey man, I've got a story. Would you be interested in hearing about it on your platform? And maybe whoever you reach out to will say this, man, I am swamped right now. I'm booked right now. I've got nothing coming up this month right now, but dude, we're talking right now. So this will never go live on the interwebs, but you and me talking in this moment, and I'm listening to your life story and I'm digging it, and now we're communicating, and whether we have a chat live in the future or not is immaterial because we're talking right now, buddy. So let's talk. And then through that process, whether I'm talking with someone for 20 minutes, half an hour, doesn't matter, 2 days in a private chat, doesn't matter to me. Every single minute is a good minute. So whether someone jumps out and says, hey, Sean, I want to do a podcast with you, and I say I'm swamped, and then we get into a convo, every minute is a good minute. I mean, what do you think? I mean, you've got experience in this area.
You know, I sometimes bite my tongue on this, but it's like, how do you decipher on a scale of what's phony and what's real? Who's trying to sell something?
Well, that's life.
But who's trying to sell something and who's truly trying to share their story for the betterment of others? Especially because the Canadian podcast is more or less about whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's something, it's telling the story of how you got there. What are you trying to do to make things better in life? Not just, yeah, you know, I struggled and, but hey, you need to buy something.
That's right. Hey, have you thought about buying my ... Every day, I see it every day. I get hit with it every day. And so I was going to say frustrating, but it doesn't frustrate me anymore because I understand that it's just the way of life for some people. But it is disappointing every single time when I begin to understand what someone's agenda is, and it's just to selfishly take rather than give of themselves. And so that is disappointing. But I think that it takes time to better understand that it took me a while within the social media world. It's different when someone's standing right in front of me, man, and I can get a read on them. But through the social media world, it takes longer to get to know someone versus when I only need a split second when they're in real time in front of me, analog. But digital takes longer, I find. And if I don't have enough time to figure out, you know, why are we talking right now? Why is this guy reached out, or why is this whatever? Why is this happening right now? If it takes me longer to figure that out digitally than it does analog. And sometimes, you know, when I engage in that, then my stubborn nature gets involved where I start to realize, oh man, this is the game. I can't believe I'm now invested in this goofy game with this dude. How did I not see that coming? But then the stubbornness in me rises up And it's like this, okay, well, I'm going to try to help him. I'm not going to try to change him, but I'm going to try to help him. And hopefully my help in a concerted fashion will help him around the corner. And so he can see a bit clearer and then he can help himself. I'll try to help, but I ain't trying to change him. Then I start investing time. And then a month goes by and I'm like, okay, I gotta bounce because this is a terrible dead end. And so, and then what? I've lost a month of my life. And, you know, every month that you lose, every hour that you lose, every minute that you lose, every time it stacks up, I get a better sense of how much I can put into a person, how much I shouldn't put into a person, how much I've got to put into the rest of the world. It's a learning curve, that's for sure.
Well, some people I've found over the years will say hello to you or just try to be in touch with you just to tell others that they know you still.
It's crazy, right?
They don't really care how you're doing.
I didn't think that was a thing. Yeah. I didn't even know it was a thing until I started getting involved with social media. It's so wild.
Like I'll get a hi text or whatever. Hey, how's life? Oh, great. And then they're just talking about themselves. And I'm thinking, okay. And then they just disappear for a couple months and then come back.
Right. Right. On an as need basis.
Yeah. I still have you in the back pocket in case I need you ever for something.
that's right. For my spare 2 minutes while I'm distracted with everything else, I want you to distract me for 2 minutes so I can waste your time for 2 minutes so that neither of us benefits at all for 2 minutes.
Hey, I'm bored. Talk to me.
That's right. Oh, hang on a sec. You're about to talk. Sorry, I've got something else on the go now.
We'll chat later. Got to go.
Yeah, it was fun reaching out to you and telling you all my problems, but I got to go.
It's funny, isn't it? Our world today.
It's funny, but it's we've allowed it to happen. And I try not to, as I've said in the past, I try not to give people a hallway pass, include myself. And so that doesn't mean that I got to be like mean-spirited all the time. It just means that, man, if you're blowing it, I'm going to let you know. That's it. That's all. And then you get to decide what you want to do with that. And if I say, dude, you're blowing it, and you know you're blowing it, you know inside you're blowing it, that's on you now. You get to figure it out. You get to huff, puff, and yell and complain and say, no, I'm not, and whatever. But you know, everyone knows. In the deep heart of your heart, you know that you're blowing it. And so there's only one way out of that, and it's like, yeah, I got to do better. That's it. That's all. Everything else is just excuses and lies and nonsense. If you know deep inside that, I think yesterday we talked about if you woke up this morning and skipped your push-ups as an example, right. And it's this afternoon, you still haven't done your push-ups. And now it gets to the end of the night and you're thinking like, oh man, I got to do my push-ups and you don't do them all throughout the entire day. You knew what was up. You knew that the push-ups were still there. You knew what you needed to do. Now you're just lying to yourself every single minute that it comes up in your little peanut. I got to do it. Oh, but the dog's got to get walked. I got to do it. Oh, I got to load the dishwasher. I got to do it. Hey, where's my favorite hat?
I got to do it.
Whatever. All of the lies, all of the nonsense, all of the can't face up to what you got to do. And then it's those moments where you get to decide who you are. You're either in or you're out.
Who called you out on your own bullshit? For you to know.
Me. You? Yeah, I'm my biggest critic for sure.
Well, I mean, you will watch every move, how you talked, how you blinked episode.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, but the only way to get better at something is to critically analyze what you're not doing well. I mean, I don't focus on what I do well. I focus on what I do poorly. I'm trying to improve my shortcomings. I'm not trying to, fixate on my upside. I'm always on my downside, just trying to keep raising my game. Yeah.
Which is so unique because so many people get scared. You know, they'll go put something out there and say, I can't look at myself. I was on TV. I can't look at myself. But you go back. And
I try to own it, man. I try to own my discomfort. I try to own my nonsense. And, you know, to your point, so just the other day, I put up that photo, video of my name in a magazine out of Vancouver. It was in reference to Sachin running across Canada and how he'd spoke nicely about some of the things that I'd done. And that was very nice of him. It was thoughtful and I appreciate it. But I just didn't think that I would ever have my name in a magazine article presented to me at my front door, by the way, from a guy that I barely know who happened to be reading it while he was out in Vancouver. And as he drove into Roslyn, he thought, I wonder if that's Sean Taylor. So he brought the magazine with me to buy coffee from me to say, hey, is that you? So that's the first time I got to see the magazine in my hands, in fact.
Had you heard of it, though, that your name was in a magazine, or that was the first time?
I had heard, but I mean, it wasn't real until I was holding it in my hand. And then I thought, oh, wow, I wonder how many people have read this. Oh, wow, that's
super cool.
That's kind of not what I was expecting. And so, you know, and to my point, yesterday when I put that out, that's the very last thing I wanted to put out. But the only reason I put it out, it's my embarrassment of being in a magazine, because I just don't like to be that much in the spotlight. I just don't want to be rah-rah sis boom bah in front of everyone. If it would have been someone else's name in there, that would have suited me just fine. But that wouldn't have made any sense because it was me and Sachin. That's part of it's integral to the story. And so the entire story arc of Sachin from the time that I met him until now, he's just done such amazing things. And though I'm only a tiny, tiny little part of that, it's kind of an important part in his overarching forward progression. And so I know that my name probably had to be in the magazine, but I just was super uncomfortable with it being in the magazine. And because I was really uncomfortable with it, I thought that I would double own it yesterday by putting it out on the internet and explaining to people that this is not really my thing. I don't really want to be that guy, but it's important that we all understand that when these things happen, we have to make everyone aware that some good was done in the world. These are the outcomes that can possibly be created by doing your best for someone and watching them go out and do amazing things. And in the grand scheme of it all, I only did a tiny little bit. Sachin did all the heavy lifting, and presto changeo, it's a great story now. But if he didn't tell the little bit about me, and if I didn't own the little bit about me, then who's going to see that little things can create big changes?
It's got to start somewhere. Yeah.
It's got to start somewhere. No. I just wish it was with someone else. I just wish it wasn't my name.
Yeah, you deserve it, Sean.
Maybe, maybe not, but I got to start a nom de guerre. Maybe I'll just call myself John Wickenham.
Just John Ross, man.
I like Wickenham. It's a playoff of John Wick, so.
I love it. For the people that don't know Satch, I mean, he's done some remarkable things, and he continues to do so.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you guys had a live chat not so long ago, and just to see the journey and how you guys talked about that from his growth, it's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. I mean, I don't want to say he's a case study or anything like that, but I mean, he's done incredible things for himself, within himself. And so a lot of people might see all of the external improvements that he's made in respect to running and, you know, crossing finish lines and blah, 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 whatever. All of that stuff's nonsense as far as I'm concerned. All of his heavy lifting, all of his hard work has all been internal. Yeah, okay. You can run around with one sock on and the crowd will applaud you. You can run around with your shoelaces undone and the crowd will applaud you. But if you're just standing still, no one applauds you. And so I would like to shift the spotlight on Satch away from his accomplishments as an athlete and shift them way more towards the inner work that he's done in his head, in his heart, in his spirit. All of this stuff that's inner work, that's where he's done amazing things. He has 10 times himself internally.
Have you seen someone go back from all the work they've done, just throw it all away?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for some people, it might be just life, you know, maybe a kid dies, maybe one of their children die and that's it. That's, you know, it all starts crumbling. Maybe it's something like that. Or maybe it's just that someone gets lazy, gets sloppy. And so the first incident of a we'll call it a catastrophic life incident that changes your vector in life dramatically in a split second, that one is an easy one to understand. What isn't easy to understand is how 20 years ago, a guy who could stand tall and proud with his chest out, looking straight ahead, good, strong bearing, confident, we'll call it to some degree successful, capable, respected, and then 20 years later, they suck because they gave up on themselves, because they weren't doing their work, because they just got lazy, they got complacent. And that's the really corrosive one. That's the most impactful one, because the word on the street is, I just never saw it coming. I didn't realize that I was wearing Dorito bags for slippers. I didn't realize that I had totally lost the plot. Yeah, you did every single day. You knew it every day. You knew it inside of you every single day that you were being lazy. You knew. But you found a way to convince yourself that you weren't. And so 20 years later, it's not an ambush. You ambushed yourself every single day. You allowed the ambush to happen. But guess what? 20 years later, here you are sitting on your couch with Dorito crumbs, wondering how it all came to this, where it all went wrong. How did the world, throw you a bit of bad luck? It didn't. You just got lazy. So what do you do about it? Stop being lazy.
Too late, though?
I mean, never, ever. The only time it gets too late is when you do this. It's too late.
And we've heard that.
Which most people do. And so, I turned 60 this year, and I'm kind of curious as to what I'm going to do when I turn 70.
When do you turn 60?
Who knows? October.
Okay.
So make sure you throw me a big party. It's going to be rad.
Together.
Right. Well, I am jumping out of one this summer, so it's going to happen. So the idea being that, if 20 years later, you're that guy who's now on the couch with the empty bag of Doritos and you're wondering how it all got there, it got there because you were freaking lazy. But what do you do now about it? Well, you get to decide what to do about it. Repeat Groundhog Day of lazy or change it up. And by changing it up, it doesn't mean that you got to go pound out 30, 100, 1 million burpees today. It doesn't mean any of that. By changing it up, it means changing this up, your mind. You just got to change it up in a split second. That's it. Tired of being freaking lazy. I'm going to go do something about it. And that something is now up to you. And you don't have to make it so onerous. You don't have to make it so difficult that it doesn't get accomplished. Here's what you can start off with. I'm tired of being lazy. I'm going to stand up, brush the Dorito crumbs off my chest, and I'm going to clean up my room a little bit. And then I'm going to clean it up some more tomorrow. But right now, I'm going to see if I've got any clean socks. Start small. You don't have to scale Everest on day one. You've just got to have it in mind that you are capable of scaling Everest if that's what you want to set as a goal for yourself and start marching towards that outcome. But you can't be on the couch eating Doritos and think you're already on top of Everest. You ain't. So if that's where you want to get to, step up, brush off the crumbs, and do a little bit towards moving closer to getting to the mountain, the base of the mountain. Let's get there first.
Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate that today. We nailed it.
Dude, I didn't nail anything.
Yeah, you did.
Just nailed hanging out with you. That's all.
I love it.
Well, buddy, whether we did or we didn't, I'll tell you this. It's just good to hang out with you. You've got some really interesting questions. The way that you consider the guest, me in this case, on whatever opinions I might have on things, you hold your space really nicely, neutrally observant and contemplative. You're not trying to jump all over things. You're not trying to guide things in a weird tangent that you want to keep tangenting on. It's relevant, flowing conversation.